Muddy Knees Media.
This news just in, listeners. The Athletic is extending its £1 a month offer for all new subscribers, meaning you can get unrivaled analysis and in-depth features from the very best football writers around, plus a brand new breaking news service and ad-free versions of all of The Athletic's podcasts for just a quid. This deal won't last forever, though, so don't miss out. Sign up today at theathletic.com/Scottish Show.
Welcome to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power.
Coming up, good as Goldson, mayhem at Hamilton, and 10 goal thrillers in the Lowland League. I'm Andrew Slaven and I'm joined by my partners in crime, football crime. It's Laura Brannan from Motherwell Football Club and JJ Bill from The Telegraph.
Hello.
Yeah, see, last week I didn't give either of you time to say hello. This time I give you both plenty of time. But I'm going to go to Laura first, straight away, who was meant to be having a party in Paisley, but didn't. Why?
What is football these days? What is it to actually have your team playing on a Saturday afternoon? I forget what it feels like. It's been so long as a Motherwell employee to have been covering a game on a Saturday afternoon.
So the game got called off. St Mirren called the game off less than 3 hours before kickoff. They informed the SPFL they could not fulfil the fixture, and if their game goes ahead against Ross County on Saturday, it will be Motherwell's first game in a month.
Another victim of COVID, basically. St Mirren had their test done on Tuesday, got three positives when the results came back on the Wednesday. So they retested again on the Thursday, and they had one additional positive to add to that. So four in total. But as a result, they then said that many others had to self-isolate. It meant that as a result, St Mirren only had 12 fit players, 12 fit and tested players, which were eight outfield and four keepers. So yeah, we didn't get wind of this really until Saturday morning, that this was a game that was in doubt. We were told kind of mid-morning there was a problem, and then the decision wasn't made until the players were pretty much sitting eating their pre-match meal. A bus was outside waiting to head to Paisley, and that was it. Another Saturday with no game, and it's just been unlucky for Motherwell, because the last time we had a game scheduled, it was a Kilmarnock game, which the same thing happened there, where it got called off because of COVID issues with the opposition squad. It's annoying, you know. It could have a detrimental effect on the match fitness of players. They haven't played now in what will be a month if Saturday goes ahead, fingers crossed. That's a full month out with the international boys. These players will be getting rusty. It's just not the same training day in, day out. It's not as enjoyable for them, and it's just not as good for their sharpness. But these things happen, eh?
Oh, yeah, it's not going to be good for preparation. But hey, do you know where they did have some football? In the Championship, in all games, and it went viral, but in a good way. First, Hearts battered Dundee 6-2 on Friday night. Did you see that?
Yes. Some lovely goals. That free kick was next level. Corner.
I mean, Charlie Adams' strike as well. I mean, it looked like he was trying to beat Hearts on his own sometimes.
Everyone says very early to call the league, but Hearts look so much better than everyone else. They should be maybe top four or five in the Premiership. So they should.
They are a Premiership
walk that
team.
League, maybe.
And Laura, you know how social media works. Being part of the Motherwell media team, Hearts had some fun after the game, didn't they?
Oh, it was cheeky, wasn't it? So basically, they picked up on this how it started, how it's going trend that's going on just now.
Yeah.
And at full time, posted two photos. The first was a screenshot of a breaking news tweet when Dundee U-turned on their vote in, what was it, April, May time, which essentially relegated Hearts. And the second was the current league table with Hearts top and Dundee bottom. It's quite ballsy, considering it's one game into the season. The Dundee media team could have a lot of fun with that if fortunes do change over the next weeks and months. But as a neutral, I laughed at it. As a media club employee, it's maybe not something I would want to be responsible for, but as a neutral, it was good.
Well, speaking of ballsy, Ayr United beat my beloved Queen of the South on Saturday. Despite, you know, the man, the myth, the legend, Stephen Dobie, scoring from the penalty spot, he managed to slot home despite a spectator or someone part of the opposition staff, or we don't know, trying to get his attention.
I really like that basketball style psychouts have entered into
Oh man, I love that movie. Yeah.
I really hope that was somebody on the sub bench from the opposition.
Listen, I can confirm from experience that I do not know if Bobby, if Dobby has a wee Bobby. But later on, we're going to be studying St Johnstone and having a wee look-see at the Lowland League. But let's start with the first ever fanless Glasgow derby.
You're listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power.
Yes, Rangers remain unbeaten and went 4 points clear of Celtic thanks to Conor Goldson's first league goals in a year. Celtic failed to have a shot on target in a league game for the first time since 2009. And I think it's fair to say, JJ, the Rangers were utterly dominant and Celtic were completely second best.
Yes, absolutely. From start to finish, Rangers were the better team. I'm trying to work out whether I wrote a piece on this today for the Telegraph, and I'm trying to work out whether it's the fault of the players or the system, and it's a little bit of both, which is the kind of on the fence answer you'd expect. But the way that Gerrard set up Rangers made them tactically outdo Celtic, so everything they tried to do, they were beaten. So Celtic lined up in a 3-5-2, which is what Lennon likes to do, and Rangers played their narrow 4-3-3, which is what they always set up under Gerrard. But it's clever, because everything that Celtic were doing was being funnelled out wide, because Rangers were flooding the centre of the pitch, so everything had to go wide, and then they just isolated that wing-back, and either had Laxalt, who Lennon said did well positionally, but it looked to me like he was out of position quite a lot in that game. And on the right, you had Frimpong. And all they had to do was kind of isolate them. And then one of the central midfielders for Rangers would shuttle across to close them down. They had no space, couldn't cross in. And it just meant that there was no real... Celtic were very predictable and they could be easily shut down. They had more of the possession, but that was because most of their passes were just sideways. If you look at any passing maps, the very nerdy side of the game, you'll see that all Celtic did was pass sideways, 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 into Brown and back again. And then Rangers took their chances, like two set pieces, one in the first phase, one in the second phase, and you could say it's bad marking from Celtic, and were it not for that, it could have been a different scoreline altogether. But I think Rangers controlled that game start to finish. There's a lot more to it, but yeah.
I mean, you could have a number of excuses for Celtic. Most importantly, the number of absentees they had. No Odson Edouard, Christopher Julien was out, and so was Ryan Christie, amongst a few others, James Forrest being another main one.
Well, those things there, I mean, that changes the... You could say that would make... The same system might have been perfect with those players in. This is the weird thing with it, is that 3-5-2 might have worked because Forrest was good enough to beat his man 1v1 on the wing. He might have been able to alter it slightly. You'd have Edouard making different runs to what Klamala was making. Then they're just better footballers. They got better touch, better movement. Rangers are more worried. So it could have made that change as well. So it's not... Lannan's got a lot of stick for his tactical setup, but sometimes it's just... There's nothing wrong with his system, but the players within it that time didn't work.
I agree, and I tend to take your point on Rangers' tactics. It did very much feel like, as much as Celtic had the ball, Rangers were allowing that to happen. The day didn't start well for Celtic, and the fact that the starting 11 was leaked, and Lennon was saying that someone from the club has obviously leaked that starting 11, but, you know, is that really a bad thing? Laura, do you know much about this?
No, I mean, I think Lennon has said it's not the first time the team had been leaked either. I think was it leaked overnight? Did it come out in the morning? Does it really change much? I mean, considering so many players were missing, was it not quite obvious to try and kind of second guess who would have started? I don't know if it changes much. Is it him just clinging to some sort of excuse there? I don't know. The whole mole at a football club fascinates me, though. I really want to know more about this, because Lennon did say afterwards that he will be getting to the bottom of this. And I kind of want to know how. Like, what kind of games is he going to be playing to try and catch this person out? Is he going to put out like a different team to like certain people
exactly.
in the club, but another team to the
I
other
think,
people?
That, no, each sense. Person. So you give a different team sheet and see which one leaks, and that's how you identify who the mole is. It's like in 24. And then you've got to find out who it is.
It's exactly like that. I think that's why I enjoy this storyline so much, because I kind of want to see it as a TV show or a movie.
Are we starting to see the tides turn between Celtic and Rangers? And I'm not just talking about the league title here, because what in the last three games, Rangers have been by far the better team in all of those games. And I'm going as far back to even the League Cup final, where Rangers were utterly dominant and Celtic won with that goal that was offside, and they rode their luck big time. Does Gerrard have the beating of Lennon tactically?
I'm seeing a difference here. Like I think the one strong thing that Celtic have going in their favour now and for years past is they have such a strong winning mentality. They're ruthless. But Rangers just now, especially, are a better footballing team. They're playing as a team. And it just feels like when that mentality isn't switched on for Celtic, they're there for the taking. And that is what happened on Saturday. And I just feel like that kind of weight is shifting now, that if they've not got the winning mentality and Rangers are picking up on that side, then the tables are turning. And do you know, see, going into the last kind of 20 minutes of this game, it felt like I was just watching Rangers against a Premiership team. It wasn't the biggest derby in the world. It wasn't the champions of Scotland they were playing. It just felt like you could have told me that was anyone from Kilmarnock to Livingston to Hamilton, anyone. That they just didn't really seem to get out of first gear. They were cruising it, and that should not be happening against Celtic. So I do see the kind of tables turning. The weight is definitely shifting towards Rangers, I think.
I think one of the things I noticed about this game is that the tactical deficiencies to me were quite obvious, and I suspect had it been the opposite way around, I think Gerrard would have changed something to address it. Whether Michael Beale might have noticed, I think he's quite involved in the tactical side of it with the Rangers. Whether that be a change they made to something like even just a 3-4-3 would have meant that they didn't have, rather than having two strikers and two wing-backs, and that's where the supply all comes from and everyone's isolated, 3-4-3 would mean you've suddenly got 2v1s or 2v2s on the side rather than a 1v2. So it would just change the way that you can get overloads in different parts of the pitch, especially in the final thirds where they're really struggling. But I think in terms of it, like, Celtic have won everything forever. And it's really easy to get away with thinking that, Lennon's got it all done and he doesn't know what he's doing. There's more to being a good manager than just knowing what systems when and what tactical change to make. It's all about putting the right players in and assembling a team and making it work. And they were without four of their best players, like the most important players in that team. Rangers had their full team, as far as I'm aware, like right there ready to go. And that makes a huge difference when they're so closely matched. It's interesting, it's a psychological advantage that Rangers have now, but I don't think Celtic are, I don't know, I mean, you see the fans on the internet are just going like, it's so hard being a Celtic fan. It's like, oh yeah, man, those 9 trophies you just won. Like. So yeah, I think a lot of it's getting carried away, but it's an interesting shift, and you can see that now the pressure is a little bit more on Celtic, and you have to see how they resort to it. But mind, last time Rangers won this game, and then they kind of let it go because they all went and partied in Dubai. Well, maybe not partied, allegedly had some fun in Dubai, and then it all went wrong. So we don't know how it'll go afterwards. They've got to keep it up, you know?
JJ, you mentioned that game. They dropped 8 points after they beat Celtic at the end of 2019, so... We it's only the first game of the season between the two, and it won't judge the end of the season.
Still, they have a game in hand as well. They won that. I think they're just a point short of them. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. Can you see Lennon getting binned, Laura? I can't.
I can't either. I know that the Celtic fans were up in arms at full time calling for him, but it's a bit drastic, is it not? I mean, he was brought in to be the 10 in a row hero as he started the run, and it's the poetic way of finishing the run, and I mean. Celtic, in I don't know the best way to say this other than they want a Celtic man in charge, and Lennon is a Celtic man, and it is kind of the perfect way for them to complete this decade of trophies. I don't think they would drop it. Who are they going to get in at this stage of the season? To they're getting so hung up on this going for the title this year.
Martin O'Neill's free.
That's the most Celtic thing ever if they got in Martin O'Neill to finish the 10. I just feel like everyone is getting so hung up on winning the 10 that they're scared to put a foot wrong just now. And everything that is going wrong is getting over-analysed so much more than it would have if it was just a normal season.
Well, Chris Sutton's came out and said Celtic's next 6 games will determine Lennon's future, effectively. That's what he said. But I tend to agree. I do not know... Why on earth Celtic would try and change managers midway through a season, especially off the back of losing the first Old Firm game of the season. But credit where credit's due. You know, we all know that Steven Gerrard is the only Rangers manager to start a third campaign who hadn't won a trophy before now. And he's starting to get results even more so and more consistently. So I think maybe the tables are turning. But up next, probably the most exciting game near Glasgow this weekend.
We know everyone thinks this season is going to be different, but at Paddy Power, we're staying positive because isn't the new normal just the same old football? Avoid unnecessary journeys. That's Fulham's trip to Anfield off. Self-isolate? Some strikers do that very effectively already. You see? New normal, same old football. And that's why if one leg of your 4-plus-fold Acca lets you down, you get your money back as a free bet on all football matches and all markets. The Acca Cracker from Paddy Power.
Max free bet £10. Min odds 1 to 5 on each leg. Online exclusive. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+BeGambleAware.org.
The Totally Football Shows and The Athletic are delighted to be supporting Football Aid for the months of October and November. Bid now at footballaid.com to get your hands on some incredible football memorabilia, including signed shirts from Steven Gerrard, Gianluca Vialli, Gareth Bale and even Peter Crouch's boots. Find out more, get bidding and support the cause at footballaid.com.
Oh, twisting and turning, David Wotherspoon towards May, it's in! May's there! A hat-trick in midweek, two this afternoon.
Well, I think we all knew this fixture would produce at least 8 goals and would be nowhere near the end of the running order. It finished Hamilton 3, St Johnstone 5. Ed Hodge, author of Our Day in May, joins us now. So, Ed, St Johnstone had scored more goals in this match than they'd managed in the previous 10 league games this season. What happened?
Yeah, it was. I think it was just one of those crazy days. But to be honest, a bit like the Brechin game where we scored 7 in the League Cup, I think it's been coming, the goals. You know, we've been playing some nice football and getting really frustrated. Well, certainly frustrating for the fans, the players, and obviously Callum as manager. But it all came together on Saturday in some fashion. Yeah, a great win and takes us off the bottom.
How do you see Callum Davidson's approach? Is it different? And can you see, obviously, from the weekend that there's shoots of positivity around the place?
Yeah, it's obviously a big challenge for Callum, given what's gone before with Tommy, but he was the overwhelming choice for fans, and it was great to get him in from a board point of view to get the deal done and get him back up from Millwall. So he's playing a system where it's more attack minded than Tommy. It's the three centre halves and the wingers with a focal point at the tip of the pitch there. So it's very attack minded. I think it'll be great to watch when we're all back in stadiums and cheering teams on, hopefully in the not too distant future. But I think it was going to take time, but from what I'm hearing, the players are enjoying really playing for Calum. They're enjoying playing their football, and it maybe just needed the ball to hit the net a few times to get the confidence going. So hopefully on the back of the Brechin result and obviously at the weekend, and that's them up and running with obviously May and Wotherspoon and Conway really working well as a front three. It's sort of ironic we've signed a lad from Israel to solve the striking problems, and we've just scored 14 goals in 3 games.
He's inspired them.
Maybe the talk of that transfer fired the strikers up, but it's just been, you know, really pleasing because it was becoming really frustrating at the weekends. But we kept losing games 1-0, but we're playing well. So Saturday was great to see the ball hit the net, and you know, from looking at some of the highlights, you know, Stevie May around that 18-yard box is, you know, back to the predator instincts that we know he has. At 6 goals for the season, he's still only 27. I think people forget that. 27 goals in what the dream season of 2014. So who's to say he can't get up to 20 goals again? Because Wotherspoon and Conway are playing in some great balls, and if he can get in the right areas, as Saturday proved, we're going to score goals. So, our new striker might not get a game for a while, given what's happened the last couple of weeks.
So obviously, Wright did so much for the club and took them to where they are by keeping them kind of quite rigid and very defensive. Are you quite happy for Davidson to have time to... For, sometimes it won't work, obviously, if you're opening up, but it must be more entertaining for the fan.
Yeah, you can't begrudge what Tommy did, but we had a... There was a solid base. There were some really experienced campaigners in there, and they all knew their job, and we scored goals when we needed to, and maybe when we got the goals, we... You know, we sat back, defended, and made sure we got the points. We were very good at that. There's probably a different type of player at the club now. You know, the average age Tommy brought down before he left. Callum's inherited that. It's a particularly young defence, and even Callum's encouraging the defence to push forward. So I think it's more exciting. You know, the last few Saturdays, I have to say, I've been kind of tearing my hair out because, you know, losing 1-0 to Hibs and Aberdeen, and then the Celtic game, we certainly deserve something out of that game as well. But yeah, I think it is exciting going forward, and you know the fixture list looking ahead, big game again this Saturday at home to Dundee United. Staying up is always the goal for Saints, but if you look at what we've achieved the last few years, there's that expectation now to always try and kick on a bit further than just staying up. So I think there's a real potential with the league this year, the way it's already panning out, that fifth and sixth are really good opportunities, and Saints are already, well, we're only 4 points behind fifth suddenly after a win at the weekend. So if you can string a couple of wins together, the whole complexion of the table is going to change.
Well, thanks for that, Ed. We should also give a shout out to St Johnston Fan Analysis on Twitter. He's been crunching the numbers on Stevie May, who had that great game. He's played over 1,000 minutes this year, and his underlying numbers are actually better than the season when he scored 27 goals back in 2013-14. He's back, JJ.
No. I'm not having it. Stevie May, what Stevie May is really good at, what he's been doing constantly the entire season and what he was doing at Aberdeen before when he doesn't score that many goals now, he works really hard with the ball and he makes things happen for other players. And I don't think that it's, he's back all of a sudden. I think he just got a few good assists. Like the goal he scored, it was a Wotherspoon on the left-hand side, twisting and turning in. I mean, that's his goal, basically, right, that he's created there. I don't want to take things away from May, but I need to see these... where's these numbers on May? I need to find them really
well,
quickly.
Well, he has more goals per game and fewer minutes per goal. Stats, like, I know you love them. He's doing rather well. I mean, I think his second goal as well highlighted how dangerous he can be in the box. And they said it on Sports Scene. I think it was Jonathan Sutherland basically saying he spoke to Callum Davidson and he's been trying to get Stevie May to be more central rather than be playing as a support striker. He needs to be a bit more ruthless.
Well, that's it. If he's always running around trying to win the ball and create space for others, he's not there to get on the end of moves, and that hurts his teammates who are creating. Because he's got two either side of him, because it's a three they play up top. It means he's got people kind of... It's not just wingers hitting balls into the box, like a 4-3-3. It's a 3-4-3, so it's close. So then they're a lot more inside forwards than they are wingers, if that makes sense.
As for Hamilton, we had Brian Rice coming out and he's saying that they went for it, which is... You know, Hamilton are always a positive team, but it does allow them, or allow the opposition, with plenty of space to hit them when it matters.
Yeah, as you say, Andrew, I mean, that's the thing. The more positive Hamilton are going to be, naturally it's going to open it up at the other end. 22 shots on their own goal, though. Great for the neutral watching the game on Saturday. Fantastic to have that kind of scoreline. And is that a great advert for Scottish football? Not if you're a Hamilton Accies fan, you're going to complain about the amount of goals conceded, but... It's been exciting, though. And to be honest, if they're going to have to try and move off the bottom of the table, which they are going to have to do sometime soon, they're going to have to keep going for it. And naturally, as I've seen, that is going to open up more at the back.
Also, like Brian Rice says in his post-match interview, at least we had a go, which is the kind of thing that some people say, come on, you just have a go at these teams. But that's exactly what happens if you do go. But I do also quite like it. And they've got young players. Young players tend to be, you know, a lot better at going forward and attacking because they're younger and fitter. So, it might be a case that you might get some advantage from that. Maybe.
He's also not trying to put too much pressure on these young players' shoulders.
Yeah, for sure.
Because in the current circumstances that we're all having to live under, they're trying to do a job under very difficult circumstances themselves. So he's trying to manage it as best as he can, but that pressure is going to naturally come to them the longer the season goes on and the longer they are in the position they are in. But let's face it, they're going to finish 10th.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, the more I think about it, Stevie May, If the numbers tell us that's what's happening, maybe he is back. Maybe he never went away after all.
he definitely didn't go away. Let's move on to Livingston 1, Kilmarnock 3 on Saturday. Almost the entire Kilmarnock squad was in self-isolation this past fortnight after 6 positive COVID-19 cases at the club. And despite just a couple of days training together, Kelly came out on top at the Tony Macaroni. This was a game that Kilmarnock tried to get postponed, delayed, and Livingston refused. And then Kilmarnock won.
It's a bit cheeky, wasn't it? Wanting to get it. What was it? They wanted to get it postponed to the following Tuesday.
Yeah, I think so.
I thought they wanted to maybe just put it back a day because they wanted a wee bit more time to work with our players. But to push it back to the next following midweek, I mean, it's a wee bit cheeky because these players, they returned to training the previous Wednesday. So they would have had like about 5 days worth of preparation. Why should Livy have agreed to that? Because then they were forced to play midweek with only a game in a couple of days' time. When Kelly played the midweek League Cup game the previous weekend, they played the League Cup game the previous weekend, why could they not have just used those boys again?
Yeah.
I just find it a strange one. It's very cheeky. I'm kind of glad that Livy kind of said no.
Well, it started well for Livingston. Scott Pittman scoring the first goal of the game. But this is now 3 league wins in a row for Kilmarnock, and they host Hibs next Saturday. Alex Dyer seems to be doing okay.
He also had to set this one up so their own. He said he wanted to reserve energy because they've had their own issues with the virus. So he had to have he set them up to hit Livingston on the counter. And I think their weakness and why they're conceding so many goals is they're quite slow in transition to get into their defensive shape, and they often leave the defence kind of is the only line. The midfield tends to be, if you look at any highlights when they concede a goal, often it's the case that the defence is the last line, which is obvious, but the midfield's not where they should be. So the way they're expanding to try and take the ball and they turn it over in a dangerous position and they're not quick enough to get back into their defensive shape. But I know people don't want to be harsh on Robbie McCrory. This is important to get this name correct. He's at fault for 2 of the goals, I think. So the first one, I think he should push the ball further away from when he does. An easy mistake to make, I'm sure, for any level goalkeeper. But the third one is clearly his mistake, not reading the flight of the ball and going in. But the goalkeeper's not in charge of the multiple attacks that they have to deal with. And I think the spacing between midfield and defence isn't quite right at Livingston at the moment. And that would be something that Holt will probably work on and probably does already in training, because you can see at times that that's where they're a little bit vulnerable.
Well, coming up next, we've got 2 goalless draws. Stay tuned.
It's the start of lockdown 2 out there, listeners, so grab your currywurst, dust off your lederhosen and fire up the umpar band. Because it's Oktoberfest and our friends at Beer 52 want to celebrate the world's biggest beer festival by giving all Totally listeners a free case of 8 German craft beers. All you have to do is head to beer52.com/football and cover the cost of shipping, which is a mere £5.95. Beer 52, as you all know by now, are beer pioneers, and they've visited the finest small batch breweries in Germany to bring you ABK 6% Weissbier, Buro Brauerei's Weizen, Lemke's Spree Coast German IPA, and many, many more. Most of these beers have never, ever been seen in the UK, and with Brexit round the corner, well, it's unlikely you'll ever see them again. You can choose a light, dark, or mixed case, and the best thing with Beer 52 is that there's absolutely no minimum commitment. If you want, you can just take this free case, try the beers, and if you decide it's not for you, you can pause or cancel your subscription at any time. So head to beer52.com/football and get your free case of 8 craft beers today. That's the word beer and the number 52.com/football. One last time, beer52.com/football for Oktoberfest.
You're listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show from Muddy Knees Media and The Athletic.
Ross County 0, Hibs 0 on Saturday. 28 shots from Hibs. Jack Ross said he couldn't be too critical. Should he be critical?
Well, I mean, they didn't score, so...
Yeah.
Also, if they're serious about competing for Europe this season, is this not the sort of game that they should be winning?
I mean, obviously, yes. They also want to win the games. They didn't try to. And Boyle missed a couple of chances. The most obvious problem is when you clean through and go and kind of skewed it wide. But they've been playing really well, Hibs. They just aren't, you know, Ross County aren't a bad team. I think Hibs were the better side in this game. They actually dominated them in the stats. But there's only one stat that matters.
Yeah, I don't take your point on Ross County, to be fair. They haven't been that good. Only one, one goal in the last six games.
They're not
an
awful team. Yeah.
They're not an awful team, but they're a team that you know aren't going to get a lot of chances themselves. So you need to take them when they, I mean, I know you can say that about any game, but Hibs are full of attacking talent. And to not go away with a win when they've won four of the previous five away games, against Ross County, they should be winning this game. And for Jack Ross to say not to be too critical, I don't know. I think he's allowed to be if he wanted to be.
It's football. You can't win every game.
I get that.
They were also coming up against 10 men, so you've got to take that into consideration as well.
But then often, I mean, that can actually be harder to, especially if Ross County's whole idea is to not concede. If that's what they're trying to do, because they keep conceding goals, they're trying to...
True.
And sometimes it's harder to play against 10 men. Obviously, it was Conor Randall showing the straight red card
cliche.
After.
It's true, though, yeah. I mean, the thing to look at, the underlying stats, if we go and look at that, like XG, Hibs pummeled him, is about 3.2 to 0.79 is what I've got from my scout. So I can see why he's not being critical, because they created the chances, they just didn't take them. So you can say they need to be more clinical, but how do you can't tell somebody more clinical. It often comes with more confidence or a bit of luck here or there. I mean, Nisbet's scored 6 goals already this season. Was he top scorer in the league, something like that? They're not doing badly. They're allowed to have an off day. They didn't lose. That's the important thing.
Well, who else didn't lose? Dundee United and Aberdeen. Another 0-0 classic.
The new firm, as they tried to brand it in the 90s, was it? Or was it before?
It was the 80s.
It was the 80s.
Yeah. I think it was during the European runs for both sides.
I remember it vaguely being a thing when I was growing up, the new firm. No one really cared. But they did get mentioned in that Stand Free song, so it must have worked at some point. Anyway, this game was all right. I thought Dundee United weren't very good at all. Aberdeen didn't have anything in the to finish it off. I think Aberdeen should have won this as well. As we say, Hibs should have beaten Ross County. I think Aberdeen should have beaten Dundee United. But just not clinical, like we're saying about Hibs. Especially Scott Wright, who there's a real player in Scott Wright. I think he can be a real player, but he hasn't got that killer instinct. He keeps not finishing chances he should be finishing. It's happened quite a lot this season where he gets a good chance. There's one example, I think, when it's normally Hedges that sets him up, but the ball lands with him on the left-hand side of the box. He's right-footed, sets up to shoot, but he hits it hip height. Not even in the corner. It's far too easy. And you don't get chances like that very often. And I'm thinking whether Cosgrove will make a big difference, but I don't know. It should do, but he needs to create the chances, and they are, but it's different chances that Aberdeen are creating than the ones Cosgrove normally scores, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
I do like Scott Wright as well. I've always liked him, even when he was on loan at Dundee a few years ago. He always looked like the sharpest player on the field. Not every game, but I did think when he went back to Aberdeen he would be a much better player playing with better players. But if you cannot find the back of the net in his position, you're always going to be judged. And maybe he needs to be dropped back a little bit. Maybe he just needs to be that creative player.
I don't think so. No? The position he plays is very much like what Paulett was doing back in the day when he had a song. We discussed this before. Mm-hmm. But I think what will happen with Scott Wright is he will start to score and it'll just flow and it'll just suddenly everything falls into place. I don't know, it just happens sometimes, right? You're just in the zone and he's just not quite there, and it'll be maybe a mental block, and once he hits it, he knows everything he hits is going to go in. It'll make a big difference. They look good, Aberdeen. They look fine. They're not producing an awful lot of goals is the obvious one to say, but the attacking play, although it looks much much improved from what it was a while ago, the way they're producing chances, I still think they could be creating more with the players that are there. But I guess it's all built on being hard to beat in the first place, which is how they've done so well in the past few years anyway. So
yeah, so it's looking like Sam Cosgrove will be back this week, it's been reported. So it's saying could be as early as the midweek game against Hamilton Accies. Could possibly be joined by Matty Kennedy, Mike Devlin and Greg Lee as well. So very positive for Aberdeen. I think this point on Saturday was really good for Dundee United, though. I think it was a very well-earned point. You've got to remember where they are just now. I know they're classically like considered as the big team in the Premiership, but they're just newly promoted. They're still finding their feet. They've not got off to the strongest start. So to hold Aberdeen was very good. And I know it was backs against the wall for large parts of the game for them. They did change it in the second half. They switched to a 4-4-2, which helped them massively. And yes, at times they were hanging on, but it worked. They benefited from Aberdeen not having a cutting edge. And Segrist, again, was absolutely outstanding. He has been, I know I've said it before, but he's been a difference for United this season. In goals, he has been absolutely superb. But outfield-wise, United just continue to be too limited. They're playing it quite safe. They've not got much going forward. I think if this game had been played for 3 days, you might still not have seen a United goal by now. And that's where things need to change. That's where Mickey Mellon needs to really kind of up his game in that sense, kind of work on the outfield side of things.
Well, still to come, BSC Glasgow lit up the Lowland League. But up next, the return of fantasy football. Worst thing about international breaks? No fantasy football Scotland! Unless you're me, who's doing an absolute nightmare job. Since being top of the league, I'm now, I think, almost joint bottom. Oh my God. But let's look at game week 11, which is still going on with Aberdeen versus Hamilton on Tuesday night. Rangers have conceded just 3 goals in 11 games. So Laura, I think you went and captained Tavernier, which I think you've done for the last 10 weeks or whatever.
Yep, so it's day one of the season and I'm not changing it anytime soon.
Clean sheet and assist for him. Tavernier's the first player to reach us 100 points as well this season.
Or 200 in my case.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Like I said it, what was it, week 4 or something? Captain Tavernier, you'll be good at, you'll do you right good. And I stick by it. I think that was some sound advice from Laura 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. What is it? Yourself, JJ, you've even got Tavernier and Barisic at the back. Kieran Cannon's in the league. Finn Marks is in our Totally Scottish Football mini league as well. And a 19-point haul for Connor Goldson as well. That would have been a good one to have in your team.
Yeah, I had Greg Kilty on my bench as well, which is annoying because he's got 7 points at the weekend.
Yeah, I had Kilty. He was one of my positives for the weekend. Not COVID positive. He was one of my main guys, but I lucked out. I didn't luck out, in fact, because I still had Christie and Edward in my team. Why did I do that? What an absolute
Somebody
moron.
Forgot to check their team before the deadline.
Do you know what my biggest failure this year is? I am in too many fantasy leagues. That is my problem.
Well, I think we should look at players who would interest the listeners. So Aberdeen keep getting clean sheets. So it's having either the goalkeeper or one of the defenders, Considine, my favourite to go in there. Hoban's been doing really well as well. Kind of guaranteed them. They're a bit cheaper than some of the Rangers defenders. But Balogun, if he gets back in the team, is dead cheap. He's 2.4 million. Mm. Whereas I think Josh Doyle at Hibs, I think he's 2.6 now. He's doing very well. A lot of people have had him.
Yeah,
Alan Forrest, his price is starting to rise a little bit. I think Livy, he's doing well. Greg Kilty, I mean, just mentioned, he's 2.8 million. He'll probably rise up soon. But then you've got to look at who comes back for Celtic eventually. And it's Aberdeen versus Celtic, so maybe not the best time to pick an Aberdeen defender there. but yeah, I mean, is there any differentials you picked out that would make a difference this week?
I mean, Alan Forrest is one that I have been looking at for a while to try and get into my team. I think he'd be a good one, but as you say, his price has gone up. There's Chris Burke as well. 4 goals and 2 assists, I think he's got so far. So
yeah, Burke's a great shout. Same return as Ryan Kent this season. He's cheaper.
Yeah, so that's decent. Good game there as well. Kelly Hibbs, that should be a good one. I wouldn't recommend picking Motherwell players because we don't play football anymore, so you're not going to get any points there. And St Johnstone are scoring for fun just now.
Oh yeah, but would you put Stevie May? Is it time for Stevie May?
Well, he's definitely on a run. See if it was more than one transfer a week, I think I would. But it's a big call for using up your one transfer. I don't know. I'd maybe leave it another week to see how he gets on. See if it's just a flash in the pan sort of run from just now, or if he's going to have some sort of consistency to it.
Well, they're at home in their next two league games against Dundee United and Kilmarnock. And then after that, it's Motherwell, Laura. So maybe don't put a St Johnstone player on your team because you might celebrate when you're at the game.
If I ever get to a game.
Let's get some odds now from Paddy Power, courtesy of producer Charlie. And I'm told, Charlie, you've got some big news.
Indeed, bigger than Stephen Dobie's Bobby, because for the...
Come on, Charlie.
Because, big news, because for the first time in the long and illustrious history of the Totally Scottish Football Show, and probably for the first time since 2011, Rangers are the favourites to win the Premiership title.
Oh!
They are odds on.
Bookies always know.
They are odds on with Paddy Power, 2-1. Celtic, meanwhile, are now 13-10 second favourites. After that, you've got Hibs at 150-1, and Aberdeen also at 150-1, which JJ tells me is great value.
Well, very interesting. That's the Premiership. What about the Europa League?
Yep, Rangers are going to win that too. Well, maybe not. Stephen Gerrard's side reached the last 16 last season, which was technically this season. But Rangers are 50-1 to go all the way this time around. Celtic, meanwhile, are 60-1, while their opponents on Thursday, Milan, are third favourites with Paddy Power to win the whole thing at 11-1.
Well, you can find out these odds and more at paddypower.com or the Paddy Power app. Prices are accurate at the time of recording. It's over 18s only. T's and C's apply. And when the fun stops...
Stop!
This is the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven. Listen to it, totally ad-free, via The Athletic.
Are you saying it does this season, Luke? And there is a sixth goal for BSC. Dual Leeson 4, BSC Glasgow 6. 10-goal thriller.
We've talked about the biggest game in Glasgow. We've talked about the best game happening somewhere near Glasgow. But what about the best game involving a team from Glasgow? That would have to be Vale of Leeson 4, BSC Glasgow 6 in the Lowland League. We're joined now by Mozza from the official catch-up podcast, a Scottish non-league podcast. Mozza, you were at the game on Saturday. You live-streamed it for BSC Glasgow. 6-4, what a game.
It was mental in the best possible way. Absolutely loved it. But yeah, it was a cracking game. It started off, believe it or not, there was a few missed chances. At the start, it could have been more. But for the first 20 minutes, BSC were on the front foot. And all of a sudden, Vale of Leeson scored 2 goals out of nowhere, and that just seemed to kickstart both teams. Just defences were forgotten about, and it was glorious to watch.
So you're an ambassador for the club, mm-hmm. but you also work for Football Manager. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. I do a wee bit of research on the side for the Football Manager games as well.
Nice. What is it? Are you doing the whole of the lower leagues, or who do you scout for?
It's Lowland League as a whole that I do for them. So last year was the first year that we'd had kind of full squads properly in the game. And in future years, we're obviously hoping to get the leagues playable out of the box. For now, I make a custom kind of add-on for the game every year, but hopefully it'll give me less work in future.
And how many Tomadeiras have you hidden in this year's database?
Oh, there's all sorts of... I'm still trying to work out...
I need names for the game. Come on.
Well, not to say I'm biased, but BSC might have one or two to keep an eye on. So I'll keep it at that.
Well, what about the league in general then? What's the mood kind of been like? It's been quite... the league itself has been a bit precarious in the past, I might say.
Yeah. It's a really exciting league, but obviously with the conditions we're all under just now, it's was a wee bit in doubt how things would get started. I think now that we're underway, there's a real kind of collective determination to get the season finished, and there's loads of teams vying to get promoted as well. This is potentially the best chance a lot of sides will have, because it's just getting stronger every year. So it's really exciting to watch if people get a chance to tune into live streams and so on.
BSC have had quite the rise as well since being formed in 2014. You finished third last season. Obviously, you had the big game against Hibs recently as well. You're unbeaten in 3 so far. So do you think Glasgow could go all the way this year?
Yeah, I mean, I interviewed the gaffer after the first game, which we potentially were a wee bit lucky to get the 3 points from, but I think everyone struggled a wee bit getting going. The first competitive game was such a long off-season. And he said he wouldn't be managing as if he didn't believe we could win the title. And we're by no means favourites, but we've got some real quality in the squad. A lot of your boys have been kind of discarded from youth systems higher up. So the likes of Ross Smith from Dundee United, those kind of players that have came in and really made a place their own. And we'd be seeing that. I think that's the way we'll be in future and kind of giving young players that have got talent a chance. And it seems to be working well for us so far.
Europa League. Big games coming up for Celtic and Rangers. But we'll start with Celtic against AC Milan on Thursday. Milan are absolutely storming it in Italy. Top of the Serie A, 4 wins out of 4. And Ibrahimovic, Zlatan, the man himself, is going to be in Glasgow. How exciting. Looking forward to anyone?
I think it'll be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. It's a great one to open up the Europa League campaign as well.
A good one for who, Laura? Celtic or Milan?
I was thinking more the neutrals. I was thinking I'm going to tune into that one. It'd be great to see Zlatan coming to Glasgow. Has he been here before?
He has. He has played about 20 minutes, I think, when he was 19 for Ajax, when Martin O'Neill's Celtic side knocked out Ajax in the Champions League qualifiers.
This is back when he was a champ manager legend, a wonder kid.
19 years old. Well, he's done a lot with his career since then, and he comes with a lot more experience this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
AC Milan have got a great team, by the way. I don't think they're the real deal just yet, but they've got some really tidy players. And judging by how they got undone completely by Steven Gerrard's Rangers, I suspect this might be quite difficult. Just got a feeling.
And I wonder if Laxalt can play against AC Milan.
He cannot.
Well, there you go.
Sorry, I'm just looking at Zlatan's stats, and he's 39 years old. I cannot believe that.
He's not old in years, but he's old in terms of footballer years.
It's quite sad that we're going to see the end of Zlatan one day quite soon.
Yeah, true. But he'll go into like FIFA 21 Legends or something. So we'll see him there.
He won't leave football.
Exactly. His spirit never dies.
For Rangers, standard Liège for them. Liège are fourth in Belgium after 9 games. The season started just a week after the Premiership. So both teams, you know, fairly match fit going into this game. Don't really know much about Standard Liège, if I'm honest.
I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I know nothing, but I'm going to look at them right now and tell you exactly how good they are.
Are they fairly standard?
They've only lost one game this season. That's something that's an interesting point, saying that they started their season at the same time as us, because I think that our teams in Scotland were looking to kind of benefit from was going into the European, well, at least qualifiers anyway, and I know that was definitely from a Motherwell perspective, was that they're fitter this season because they started the league games before the European qualifiers for a change. So obviously things are a wee bit, people have caught up by now, teams have caught up, but yeah, the fact that Standard Liège have started their season at the same time means that there's absolutely no advantage for Rangers in that sense in terms of fitness. Yeah, but they have only lost one game this season. Been on a good run. Was it only 4 draws and 1 defeat in the league?
Well, I don't recognise any of their players. I don't recognise any of their players from Football Manager or Pro Evo. So, therefore, I can conclude comfortably that they're probably not amazing. Not even a wonder kid. Not even one of the ones you get on like FM Scout when you do that, you know?
Wow.
That's how you tell.
Is it?
If anyone wonders how to become a football journalist, I may have given away one too many of my secrets here.
Listen, I know very well a few co-commentators that do a couple of games that are fairly random, and they use FIFA as a gauge to be like, what are the stats on this guy? What are they good at? And then they'll bring up that, oh, he's quick, this guy.
It's not a bad idea.
On Eurosport or whatever game it's going to be on. Quite funny. Anyway, I think we'll wrap it there. Thank you for listening. Thanks, JJ. Thanks, Laura. Hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you also to Ed and Mozra for joining us in the show, as well as producer Charlie, who makes us sound fantastic. We'll be back next week after Aberdeen pump Celtic. We'll speak to you then.
You've been listening to The Totally Scottish Football Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com. Keep up to date with everything across our Totally Football network at The Totally Show on Twitter and Insta, and be sure to check out our website, thetotallyfootballshow.com.
Muddy Knees Media.